2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Well, that one sentence would be powerful enough to preach on all night. We pray you in Christ's stead, on behalf of the Lord, be you reconciled to God. Come back to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Would the church say amen? You may be. Before you're seated, turn around and shake somebody's hand, all right? You haven't hardly spoken to the person sitting by you all night. Then after you've shaken all the hands you can reach, you can be seated. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Everybody say amen.
Amen.
How much do you love the Lord tonight? He said, Peter, or Simon, lovest thou me? And he said, Lord, you know that I love you. He said, feed my sheep, feed my lambs. I think he asked him the third time, and he said, Simon, lovest thou me? And this time he said, more than these, more than all these. You love him more than all these. I am grateful tonight for such a presence of the Lord. I'm grateful for a plan of salvation that will save anybody. I'm grateful for promises that are greater than anything this world could ever compare with, cannot compete with. I am grateful for the promises and plan of God. Hallelujah. That great commandment Moses was instructed to tell Israel was, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you are to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And they were to inform the young people, the children, heads of families were to teach that to their families daily, morning, noon, night, at all times, that there is but one God, and you are supposed to love Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. Have you ever loved God with all your might? You ever loved Him with all your might? Have you ever loved Him just as hard as you could love Him? Hallelujah. Do you love Him with all your mind? You know, is He in charge of it all? Is He the foremost thing in your mind? You love Him with all your heart? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. There is nothing in this world like the love of God. Nothing, 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 nothing. Not a love of a parent for a child, or a child for a parent, companion to companion, husband to wife, wife to husband. There is not a love a person can have for things, anything that could compare with the love of God. For God so loved the world. God so loved, He so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved. Maybe we ought to place a great emphasis on that word, so loved. For God so loved, not the world in its earthiness and physical and material things, but God so loved humanity, people, Hallelujah. Amen. Then the Bible said, God is love. Isn't that beautiful? If you've got Him in your life, you've just got love. Hallelujah. You may not love drugs and alcohol and wickedness and ungodliness, but you love people who are trapped in these prisons, who are deceived by these spirits. You love people because God loves people. Hallelujah. And that's what He came for. God loved Israel. I don't think for a moment I could love my wife as much as I love her. And I dearly love my wife. I don't think I could love my wife like God loved Israel and God loves the church. I really... And the church is the bride of Christ. And Israel was the bride of the wife of God in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness. But I don't know if I could love my wife like God loved Israel and loved the church. He found Israel when He said Israel was outcast, beside the road, bathed in blood and filth, and nobody wanted her. And picked her up and cuddled her and washed her clean and clothed her and decked her in the fine array that the world had to offer at that time. God called Israel His own. Israel become the choice of God, the apple of God's eye. Hallelujah. When He told Israel not to permit the inhabitants of the land of Canaan to live in their midst, He said, if you do, they will become a thorn. They will become a thorn in your side or a prick in your eye. When you go to that land, He said, get rid of them. Get rid of their idols, their gods. Get rid of the groves and get rid of the high places and be rid of them. Everything. If you don't, they're going to be a bother to you. And I don't want them there influencing you. I want to be your influence. I want to be your source of joy and praise and worship. I want you to worship me at the altar. I say worship me at. But they didn't kill them all. They didn't destroy them all. And they didn't cut down the groves and did not destroy the high places. They did not cast down the altars and do away with the strange gods. And when God courted Israel and Israel become the choice of God, while maybe she still was decked in her robe or her gown of wedding apparel, while she still was the choice of God, she began to wink and make eyes and flirt with those inhabitants of Canaan before they went there. She painted her face and decked herself in ornaments and flirted with the ungodly people, those pagan idol worshipers of the land God had given to them and told them to be rid of them. Hallelujah. But every time she courted those ungodly, God-rejecting people and gods and altars, God would raise up another prophet and send him to, say, Israel. Along came Samuel. It said, Israel, God loves you. Why would you do this? God loves you. And Israel had revival, prophet after prophet, and king after king. They had revivals. But time and time again, Israel would deck herself in her finery and go out and court the ungodly, God-rejecting people that were her neighbors. Go up and worship at her all at their altars. Fall down before their gods. I don't know if my love is that strong, if I could continue that way if my wife was that unfaithful to me. But God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Because of Israel's foolishness and carousing and breaking marital vows and promises, because of all this, God sent her into captivity over and over again and brought her to naked destitution. That she had nothing. She was brought down to the lowest state of servitude. And every time when she began to repent and to go back and say, I'm sorry, God, forgive me. I want to love You. I want to be Yours. There was something about the love of God that always said, okay, go tell her, Elijah. I'll take her back. Go down to the beer garden. Go down to the beer hall. Go down to that night spot, Elijah. She's sitting in the corner crying. Nobody wants her anymore. She's become a tramp of the city. Go tell her I'll take her back, Elijah. I don't know if I could love someone like that. But God so loved the world. God so loved. I don't know how in the world God has put up with me as much as He has. If He measured and judged me by my actions and by my responses to Him, He would have been angry with me long ago and quit putting up with me. But God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the love of God? Oh, aren't you glad for the love of God? Hallelujah. John could not put it in words. When he tried to write it down, he said, "Behold, what manner of love, what kind of love is this that the Father hath bestowed on us that we should be called the sons of God? What kind of love is this? What kind of God is this?" Somebody declared while Jesus was walking through His life and ministry and said, "What manner of man is this? What kind of person is this?" When those Pharisees and Sadducees followed Him day after day and tried to trick Him and catch Him in some kind of blunder of failure and cross His words and accuse Him falsely, God so loved the world. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What manner of love is this that God hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God? Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know when He shall appear that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, what kind of love is this? God waited patiently, long patience in the days of Noah. He waited, so the Bible said. God had patience through those long years of Israel and their rejecting and showing hatefulness and courting the world and breaking her promises over and over again. God so loved the world. He came unto His own. God came, robed Himself in flesh, and become a sacrificial offering. I can't say that enough. Thank You for the resurrection. Hallelujah. Thank You for it all, Lord. I'm glad I can be here tonight. I'm glad I can feel what I feel in my soul tonight. Praise God. Praise God. What manner of love? Behold, what manner of love is this that the Father hath bestowed upon us? Paul said when he wrote a letter to the church at Galatia, he said, "All the law, I'm here to tell you, 1400 years of law, commandments and precepts and laws, charges given from God to the people, 1400 years of law and sacrificial offerings." Paul said everything in that 1400 years was fulfilled in one word. Can you imagine? In one word. In one word. 1400 years of animals dying and blood flowing and carcasses being burned. 1400 years of the law being preached and being observed, and worship, holy days being observed. 1400 years of that. And Paul come along and said, the Lord just, He just reached up with His big hand and grabbed it all together, squeezed it together, compacted it down, and put it in one little word and called it love. I'm telling you, love is a powerful thing. And the love of God goes beyond human understanding. There is no way we can comprehend this great love of God that loved you so much. He looked beyond all your faults and He saw what you needed and died for you. And when He got down to the end of it all, they give Him a mock trial. They insulted Him. They humiliated Him. And when they had done all that, nailed Him to a tree. And His final words were, "Forgive them, Father. They don't even know what they're doing. I love them anyhow." What love. Behold, what manner of love is this the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Hallelujah. And you hear a song like this tonight. "He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet on a rock to stay. He put a song in my soul today, a song of His praise." Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you, when you've got the love of God in you, you can't take it, friend. You can't even stand that kind of word, those kind of words and that kind of singing. It'll get on you from your nose to your toes. It'll get from the top of your head down to the bottom of your feet. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Here's what he said. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Everything is new. That's what happened to me. And I can sing it. He brought me out of the miry clay. Set my feet on a rock to stay. Put a song. Yes, he did. He put a song in my soul. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Woo, hallelujah. Here was a Pharisee in the highest order who was on a campaign to annihilate, do away with the church. Letters from the high priest that he could imprison or beat or torment anybody called apostolic, Pentecostal, Jesus name, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, whatever. He was on a campaign to do away with this kind of business. On the road to Damascus, here he was, marching down with a proud look and his shoulders pushed back and his head held high, with all of those soldiers around him going to enforce the law in the letters he had. And all of a sudden, God shined a light on him. Oh, I can't get away from that verse in the first chapter of the book of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hallelujah. On the road to Damascus, that preacher, and he wasn't a preacher now, he was just Saul of Tarsus. That bright light shined about him, brighter than the noonday sun. And friend, that's bright. Hallelujah. It was the same light that shined in the Holy of Holies where they didn't have a candlestick. It was the same light that one of these days is going to light New Jerusalem and the new heaven and earth, where we're not going to have need of Louisiana power, and we're not going to have need of any sun, moon, and stars. The Bible said He's going to be the light of the city. I'm here to tell you that the Lord God Almighty appeared in the presence of Saul of Tarsus. Hallelujah. Praise God. He appeared to him and said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Lord, who art thou? Who art thou, Lord? He said, Jesus, Lord, who art thou? And the Lord said, Jesus. I like that. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. I like that. The Lord said, Jesus, whom thou persecuted. Lord, what would you like for me to do? Oh, about this time he would do anything. He would have cast off his pride and done backward flips on that dirt road. If it was a dirt road, Lord, whatever you say, I'll do it. He sent him down to Damascus and had that Pentecostal preacher he wanted to go do away with had to come down and pray for him. Here he was sitting on a cobblestone a sidewalk, if they had them. Here he was sitting there blind, and his aides standing around, and those soldiers and helpers wondering what all is going on. Here's Saul blind. What's happened to him? And he's under conviction. The Lord's doing something to him. And along comes that Pentecostal preacher and says, Brother Saul, the Lord, even the Lord that appeared to thee in the way, has sent me that I may lay hands on you and pray for you, and that you might be healed. And he did, and scales fell from his eyes. And he arose. Paul said this. He said, I arose and was baptized immediately. And then he went on a campaign for that church and truth, and wrote more than half the New Testament scriptures. And now he come along in Corinthians, and he said, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Hallelujah. He said, you wonder why I'm concerned about your communion services and your drinking wine and your being gluttons at a communion service. You wonder why I'm concerned about spiritual gifts and operation in the church. You wonder why I'm concerned about holiness standards and worshiping and consecrations and all these things and your attitudes and spirits. You wonder why? Because all of this, he said, the love of Christ or the love of God constrains me. It constrains me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Tonight when they started to sing the song, maybe in the very first part of this service, you might have felt, Lord, I don't know what's going on. I feel something, and I feel like clapping hands, waving my hands and arms. I feel like saying amen. I feel like saying praise God. I feel like shouting hallelujah. I feel like dancing in the Spirit just a little bit. I don't understand all this. It's just something I feel. I can tell you what's going on. It is the love of God that's constraining you. Hallelujah. It's moving and working on the inside of you and constraining you. Hallelujah. His love constrained me. Hallelujah. Praise God. When Jeremiah said, I'm not going to preach anymore about him, it was his love that constrained him. That powerful love, that mighty love, that glorious love, all brought down through the years and compacted into one word, all law, sacrifices. Everything God had was all fulfilled in the word love that He brought down to the New Testament church. And His love constrained me. It constrained me. His love constrained me. Hallelujah. Now Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. That's a sign of discipleship. Amen? Praise God. That's one of God's ways. And that's one of our ways of being identified with God. Hallelujah. Now can you imagine Jesus passing by the Sea of Galilee? He had been baptized by John and Jordan. Must not have been very far up the river from where the Sea of Galilee was. And when Jesus passed by, He saw Simon Peter and Andrew. I believe it was Simon Peter and Andrew who were fishing. They were casting a net into the Sea of Galilee. I don't know if they were standing in a boat or if they were standing on the bank and they were casting their net in the sea. And Jesus walked by and there was a few folks gathered with Him from the River Jordan baptizing. In fact, some of John's disciples, when John pointed and said, that is the Lamb of God, some of John's disciples left Him and followed Him. So Jesus had a group of people walking along with Him. And when He passed by and saw Peter and Andrew casting their net into the sea. And all Jesus said was, He just kind of walked by and He said, hey fellas, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And went on down the road. Hallelujah. There may have been people standing around wondering. I don't know if Peter and Andrew just simply dropped their nets in the sea. I don't know if they dropped them and they sank there in waist-deep water or knee-deep water or off the side of the boat. I don't know if they took time to reel them in, roll them in, or wind them up. I don't know what they did. But if you could have heard Peter and Andrew as they stepped out of that old briny water or that water of the Sea of Galilee, if you could have heard one of them, he would have said, I don't know what it is about him, but his love just constrained me. I can't stand it. What he said, I've got to do. Where he goes, I've got to go. What he tells me to do, I've just got to do it. His love, something about His love, it constrained me. And I lost my self-control. I lost control of it all because His love constrained me. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's nothing in the world any more beautiful than two young people that fall in love in the Lord or out of in the church or out of the church. You know, there's something about that starry-eyed look. Something about the glow of a face. Hallelujah. You fall in love as young people, and then when you get older, you find out really what love is. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You thought it was love, but after a while, you find out really what love is. Go through a few storms together. Hang through some problems together. Cry on one another's shoulder a while. Set through some hot fever and sickness and trouble and problems for a while, and you'll find out what love is. Hallelujah! But could you imagine Peter and Andrew following along behind him with a big grin on their face and a glow in their eyes? Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! If Brother Posey keeps grinning at Sister Posey when she testifies, he's going to make me shout some of these times. Hallelujah! Amen. I'm going to tell you something. I say this in the utmost honor. I pray to God when I get Brother and Sister Posey's age that I can have the closeness those two people have with my wife. Amen. And I don't know anything about their lives, but I feel it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Sister Posey can stand up to testify and Brother Posey just, he grins all over. He can't stand it. Could you imagine Peter and Andrew walking along behind Jesus just grinning and their eyes kind of glowing and they're watching where He goes. And about that time He passes by James and John and they're mending their nets in a boat and there's Seth, that old gray-haired dad, and he couldn't keep the fishing business going if he didn't have those two boys to help him out. And Jesus just passed by and here's Peter and Andrew grinning and looking at Him, and He looks at John and James and He said, hey fellas, come on, go with me and I'll make you fishers of men. And He threw down the knitting needle, that repairing needle, dropped the net, and Daddy said, "Hey, boys, where you going, John? Where you going, James? Come on back. We've got this net to fix." "Oh, but Daddy, you don't understand. There's something about that man. His love is constraining me. It's drawing me. I can't help myself. I can't stop it. I can't stand it. His love is pulling me, and I can't get away from it." Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. He just constrains me. Hallelujah. Don't ever get impatient with me when we get in a church service and I feel like shouting or feel like running an aisle or dancing in the Spirit. I can't help it. His love just constrains me. Oh, I just don't have any charge over it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His love constrains me. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, I remember, I've seen so many people over the years come to God, be filled with the Holy Ghost, be baptized in Jesus' name. It is a beautiful thing to fall in love with the Lord. Amen. How many of you folks really believe you're in love with the Lord? You really believe that? Hallelujah. I am in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Him. I can't even tell you how much I love Him. I just love Him. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of Him. Amen. I've got time for Him. I'm not impatient with Him. I hope I'm not. I just love Him. I'm in love with Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. He told that church at Ephesus. What was all those things he said? Maybe I ought to just read a little bit of it. He said, "Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Thou hast borne, and hast patience for my name's sake, and labored, and hath not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love." Hallelujah. Amen. Now, can you imagine Jesus standing on a grassy hillside overlooking about Capernaum and overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and here sat 5,000, I believe it was around 5,000 men, and someone came up and said, "Lord, how in the world are we going to feed all these people?" And that one little boy, I'm going to tell you something. If I was in a crowd of 5,000 men plus women and children, I don't know if I'd want to share my sack lunch or not. Hallelujah. Oh, I'd try my best. I'd give it to somebody. But here that little boy stood, 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. That's all he had. And when one of the disciples came to the Lord and said, "Lord, not anything. We couldn't even buy enough food to take care of all this." Jesus said, "What have you got?" He said, "Well, as a matter of fact, here stands a little boy right over here. And he's got a little lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 little fish. And here he is, Lord, and he's got this." And the Lord said, "Son, I want you to give me those loaves of bread and that fish." "Oh, yes, sir." Maybe one of his pals said, "What'd you do that for? Now we're not going to have anything to eat." But maybe he just kind of whispered with a starry look in his eyes and said, "His love constrained me. His love. When I looked at him, when he spoke my name, when he looked at me and just said, 'Can I have it?' His love constrained me. It just did something to me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you remember when you came to the Lord and you sat in a Holy Ghost anointed service? And you say, "I felt the power of the Holy Ghost." I'm sure you felt the presence of the Lord. You felt the Spirit of the Lord. You felt that joy and that pulling and tugging and conviction and all those things. But I'm here tonight to give you a Webster's Dictionary explanation of what you're feeling. I'm just telling you, His love is constraining you. His love is constraining you. Hallelujah. Praise God. So I don't know what I'm back here for tonight. I don't know what I'm doing here in this church. I don't know what I'm here for. I don't understand all this. I'm not giving you a put down. I'm excited about it tonight. I'm glad His love still constrains us. Hallelujah. His love constrains me. He said, Ephesus, you've done a lot of good things, but there's some things that I'm not happy about. You don't love me like you used to love me anymore. I say, yes, I do. I love God. I love Him. I like to sing, shout, praise the Lord. I like to do all kind of things. I'm going to tell you something. There's more to loving God than just loving His Word, than just loving a good Holy Ghost anointed service. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. And I'm going to say it just like I felt it for a number of days, maybe even a number of weeks. I think it's time that some of our folks have a good old apostolic hold down of falling in love with God all over again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You ought to be in love with worship. You ought to be in love. You need to be in love with the prayer room or the prayer here about the altars. Hallelujah. You ought to be in love with it when they talk about prayer and when they talk about getting to church early and touching God. Your eyes ought to come alive and sparkle. There ought to be a glow in your face and you ought to say, there's something about that. His love just constrains me and I can't help it. I'm in love with everything that pertains to Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I'm in love with the sound of this piano. I'm in love with the sound of this organ. I'm in love with Brother Steve Bertrand singing. I'm in love with Brother Kelly's ministry and his working in this church. I'm just in love. I'm in love. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm worse than a country boy that's been locked back in the woods and just went to town and saw his first girl. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm in love. I'm here to tell you. I like this. I like this. Amen. And I'm here to tell you tonight, every one of you sitting right here, if you loved God like you ought to love God, when Thursday night gets here, you'd be right back here on these pews again. Hallelujah. Nobody won't have to worry about you staying at the house. Now, there are going to be times jobs and sickness and troubles and problems are going to carry you away. But if you've really got that love of God down inside your heart, you can't stay away. You can't stand up. I'm here to tell you tonight that if you let it, His love will constrain you. It'll get a hold of you and put a harness on the soul of you down inside you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm in love with Church Street out here. I'm in love with the concrete parking lot. I'm in love with those glass doors and that carpeted lobby. I'm in love with the lobby doors and these orange pews and these altar pews and this pulpit and a bottle of oil. I'm in love with a trumpet and a set of drums. I'm in love with Brother Johnny's guitar. I'm in love with Brother Robert Stevens' bass guitar. I'm in love because His love has constrained me. It's done something to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Some of you are acting like spoiled brats. That's right. You think you can stay home when you want to and go when you want to. Take part in what you want and forget all the rest. I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're only in this thing just because of fish and bread and miracles and parables, you're in it for the wrong reason. You need to fall in love with Him all over again. Hallelujah. Woo! Everybody still with me all right? Amen. 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 The Holy Ghost has checked me and I have been grieved in the Spirit of God day after day when some of you sit at home and contrive some kind of excuse that you can explain yourself away and say, I couldn't have been there. But I'm here to tell you tonight, if the love of God is living and burning in you, you won't have to worry about being faithful and being committed and being involved in the things God is calling you to do. Everybody ought to say amen. It's right. It's right, it's right, it's right. Hallelujah. We need to fall in love with Him all over again. Amen. Hallelujah. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. For if you sin willfully, and that is a willful sin, that's right, you will be lost. Now remember, I said there's sometimes you can't be here. Sometimes you can't be here.
But every time we have church, it doesn't matter. Thursday night, Sunday night, Tuesday night is youth night. All of our youth come. But I'm here to tell you, every time we have church, God sends us another hungry sinner. And they need to come in and find the church here. That's right. Hallelujah. There is strength in number and unity in numbers. And when the people get together, there's more love of God in this church. The love of God. There is more love here than I found in any church. I mean, this is beautiful. It's wonderful. But don't you get careless and start thinking that it's all here and you can pitter-patter around and stay off and come back and find it all here when you want to come back. You might be like the foolish virgins that went to get all and come back and it won't be like that anymore. I'm telling you, let His love constrain you. Let His love get a hold of you. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Jesus sat by the treasury and He watched all those people bringing in their money. And the rich dropped their bags and their purses in that treasury vessel or vault or whatever it was. And while He watched and His disciples stood there wondering what it was all about, a little woman came by and all she had was just two mites. And when she walked by and the tinkle, there was a jingle and a crash of the heavy bags of so many others. And then she dropped those two little mites into the treasury and walked on her way. Maybe she had a little stringy-haired girl hanging on the side of her old peasant robe. And she said, "Mommy, did you give that money in the offering?" She said, "Yes, honey, I gave it." "Mommy, is that all we had?" "Yes, honey, we don't have any more money." "Mommy, why did you give all that?" And maybe that old mom looked down at her with tears in her eyes and said, "His love constrained me. His love. Oh, His love constrained me. His love constrained me. His love constrained me." Let's lift our hands and love Him right now. Oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. 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 Let me just talk to you a minute. I love you tonight. But I don't love you like God loves you. God loves you so much it doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been. He just loves you anyhow. You're not here tonight by chance, by accident. The love of God has brought you again. Would you court a girl for a week, month, year, 10 years, 20 years? Isn't it strange? Some of us sitting here tonight, the Lord dealt with us for years before we really made up our minds to be faithful. What manner of love is this? Mary Magdalene came into the room where Jesus was. And here was all of those religious rulers and disciples gathered around hearing the words of Jesus. And she came in very humbly with an alabaster box in her hand and crushed it. And sit down at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible said, she began to kiss His feet. And she began to wash His feet with tears and dry it with her hair and kiss His feet. If you would have heard Mary Magdalene mumbling while she was doing all of that service to Him, maybe she was saying, "His love constrains me. His love has done something to me." A woman who was vexed with numerous devils. Nobody in the world wanted her. She was good for nothing. But God so loved the world that He gave Himself. He came unto His own. You know, if I was you tonight, I'd live for God so hard. I'd just give everything I had to God. I'd say, "Lord, teach me how to fall in love with You. I'm in love with worship of God. I'm in love with singing. I'm in love with dancing in the Spirit. I'm in love with running the aisles. I'm in love with a handshake and a neck hug from a child of God. I'm in love with a welcome and greeting from the ladies and the men alike. I'm in love with that. I'm in love with the things that pertain to God." Hallelujah. His love constrained me. Mary Magdalene broke that alabaster box and filled the place with the smell and the aroma of perfume. And that great, great expensive ointment. Washed His feet and dried it with her hair. His love constrains me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Play, Sister Debbie. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. Oh yes, how marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. But you know that I want that first verse. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to it, and I believe this is God's message to you tonight. Hallelujah.
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why He came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous His grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever mine eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He saw my need.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you tonight, I know somebody that loves you more than anybody else has ever loved you before. And all what you feel tonight is not just another little feeling and unction from somewhere out of the blue, but His love is constraining you tonight. Peter looked at Him walking on the sea and said, "Lord, if that's You, bid me to come to You." And all Jesus said was, "Just come." And that old fisherman peeled off the side of that boat. There was something about the sound of that voice
and the look in his face. There was something about that flowing, moving, pulling, convicting, inviting. If somebody had said, Peter, where are you going? What are you doing? You're going to drown. You can't do that. He may have had a sparkle in his eye and a smile on his face and said, but his love is constraining me. I can't stay here. His love is doing something to me. I can't take it.